If you would like to email us unsolicited advice or help out with our registry, head on over to babyjurymore.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Jurymore podcast, the podcast where we're having a baby.
Are we?
I mean, I'm pretty sure at this point.
For the listeners who are likely binging this, we have probably made our announcement, and these are all going up at the same time. This is friends and family that are now on the inside. We have been keeping a terrible secret from you for
ever
a while. The first episode, for context, the first episode that was recorded of this podcast, this episode, season of the Jurymore podcast, was recorded on July 29th, 2023. This episode is being recorded on January 12th. We're going to bang out a couple episodes here on January 12th, 2024. So a lot has happened since we kind of at least made the decision enough to podcast about it.
Yeah, we had a lot of sex. That's a spoiler.
There was, yes. So, well, let's actually, because I don't remember how much we got into this in the other episode, but I believe from July on, you did a lot of talking to people who had been pregnant and had maybe even mixed feelings about having kids before they had kids, right?
Yeah.
So what were you looking for in that fact finding mission where we're good, our communication is good, but you need to have a process where you are going through things?
So it really came down to a couple of things. One was just talking to friends and understanding why they came to the decision that they did one way or another. You know, I talked to plenty of friends with kids and without. The other piece was especially for the people that did have children, like what were the things that they really needed to get in order to make this happen?
Yeah.
Because while I feel like we've got a great relationship, we talk maybe about too many things sometimes. We have that pipeline. So I'm not worried about us not talking, but like, what are the things that we just don't know? The things that we don't expect that would, you know, we should really make sure we're thinking about now before having a kid.
Yeah. And what did you get back from those people? And also, this is a tricky situation because you have to talk to people that you trust. You have to talk to people whose opinion that you value, but also, you know, we didn't want this to become a family affair. We didn't want this to become something where now key stakeholders very close to us were aware of what we were thinking because we didn't want to disappoint them. We didn't want to get people into something, very excited about it, let them know that the door was open and that only for us to decide at some point, you want to know what, this isn't for us, let's go back.
I mean, it was definitely talking to a lot of people that were several states outside of Texas and, yeah. And where our families are, you know? But I think, you know, perhaps maybe expected, everybody has a million different reasons for why.
Yeah.
They're doing it.
Both pro and con. Yeah.
What I really kind of already had in my head, but also appreciated was like hearing the reasons not to. Like there was a lot of like, well, if you're expecting them to take care of you when you get old, like you don't even know if they're going to like you necessarily. So like trying not to do those like selfish, it's going to pay off for me later. Like,
yeah,
it's really being there, the enjoying of the raising a child in that experience and not necessarily that you are inherently going to get someone to take care of you later or,
yeah,
you know, immediately like the child that you raised suddenly owes you something. And so it was nice to kind of like, I kind of already thought
they
that in my head.
Us. Yeah.
Huh? Well, obviously.
They'll owe us. Yeah, they're fucking live, yeah. Ingrate.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're cursing on this show. Sorry.
Are we? I don't know.
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
I don't know if this is a family show or not.
Explicitly.
Well,
yeah.
Well, yeah. So yeah, elements of that. And then I think also for the, like, what don't we know piece, I don't really think there's a lot to immediately talk about in that department on the podcast, but I think it just really drove home that, you know, not to humble brag, but I also think that, again, we do a really good job at talking to each other, and we've talked to the ninth degree about the mental load and like all of these other things that I think women I don't know.
And again, it's been so long since the first podcast. So if we're retreading for people that are listening to them back to back, I apologize.
We really should have
listened to it. No, sorry. We don't have time. I don't know if we went over the fact that we did couples therapy. I don't know if we had
done. Think we did. I think that was too early.
Okay. So we wound up doing couples therapy specifically to address the idea of mental load.
And also, like, if there was anything as a therapist that she would have seen that maybe we should be bringing up and thinking about and talking about now that
the
we weren't.
The best thing the therapist did for us was bring us together against the therapist. The best thing the therapist did for us was that we were immediately, and it wasn't her fault per se. It was, I think she was just kind of latching on to elements of the process that we felt we were kind of through.
Yeah.
Like, we were talking about, hey, we've just had this big, long conversation about having kids. We've decided we want to go forward and kind of move as if we are with the option that we might back out at any moment. And then she kind of kept, I think she just sort of had a play sheet in her head of like, oh, now I'm having the conversation with a new, a soon to be married couple, where they're going through whether or not they're going to have kids. And we're like, no. You got to understand, we're beyond that. We are now at the point, because we want to dot our I's and cross our T's, where we want you to inspect our conversations and see whether or not we're doing things wrong. And I think she kept wanting to be like, so what are your guys' ideals? And it's like, no, we're past the ideals thing. We really want you to just listen to us talk about it and then point out red flags. And I don't think she ever really was able to get
there. It was a really kind of disappointing, expensive experience in that, like, you know, was really kind of just looking for general guidance and like how we should be thinking about things, where it just felt like she was digging to find the real problem, you know? So we probably did like 4 or 5 sessions. And
I don't think that she was aware of exactly how introspective we are and how much we do just brain dump into our relationship, to the point where, and I think we did talk about this in the first episode, really the only thing that was an elephant in the room with us was kids.
Yeah.
And as soon as we unlock that, and this is something that is true 100% from July 29th until now, I don't think our relationship has ever been better.
Yeah.
Like, without that one thing, it was like a 1% thing that when unlocked, we like 10x'd in terms of our communication.
Galaxy and brain.
Yeah, we definitely, it was the ChatGPT, but more meme. And so it just ends with us humping in the middle of the galaxy.
Yeah. And that's how babies are made.
So that was... Yeah, but I guess I'm trying to think if there's anything else that you went through in terms of like, is there any other, like, when you were talking to people, was there any piece of advice, any specific piece of advice or moment where you're like, this is good? Or was it just you not finding one thing that radically changed your opinion?
I think really the latter.
Yeah.
I think, you know, for me, so much of it was just re-exploring the idea of it. And hearing from friends that have been through it or had thought about it and said no, and just kind of having that as a way to re-examine where my head was at and a lot of the hangups, which I think we talked about last episode.
Yeah.
Kind of work through like, is that really an issue for me? Like, are these trade-offs and things that, you know, friends are talking about, like, where do they resonate? Where do they not? So I think it was just like kind of a vector for me to reevaluate and have that conversation out loud with others.
one of the things that I remember a lot about this period of time was that you kind of kept saying, I just never expected this to be a part of my life.
Yeah.
That there was an element of, I never expected to have these questions. And you were going through, you were like having these conversations, you were dealing with everything, but I never asked you in the moment. Was that more like just surprise, or was it you just, you know, not being able to comprehend, like, wait, why am I here?
It's just, it's been more, at that point, it was like more of a done deal in my head that like, this wasn't a thing that I was doing. And so any additional questions, like I had already thought through some of these things before, like it was just like, you know, why bother? I've already made my decision.
Wait, no. I'm saying when we had decided that, like when you were talking to like people and we were, this was after we did the first episode, something that you would say often, usually when we were in a conversation about things, you would say the phrase, I just never thought I would be here.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Oh, well you did. Yeah, well, a lot.
I mean, probably. Look, I blacked out. It's fine.
That's interesting that you don't remember that.
Well, I mean, maybe it does kind of go back to my point though. Like it was just
a done deal in your
it
head.
It was a done deal in my head.
Now all
prior.
Of a sudden was not a done deal.
Yeah.
Which still brings me back to this. I'm still kind of crazy. I'm still blown away that we are here. Yeah. Like there are times, and we have now gone through from the time that you guys heard this or heard us recorded in the first episode, you know, that's damn near what, 7 months ago? August, September,
like about six,
October, November. Yeah. That was like 6 months ago. And I'm still like, wow, I can't believe that this is a thing.
Neither can I.
Okay. Yeah. Is it the same for you?
I mean, it is a weird place to be. Like it doesn't feel real in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still hard to have it feel real.
Yeah.
Until it is. Real.
Well, let's get into the business. How babies
the fucking,
are made.
How are we going to talk?
How yeah. babies are made. For real.
Well, first,
the real how babies are made.
Well, first, you pee in a cup.
So we listened to the very end of the first episode. So we know we talked about my obnoxiously athletic sperm.
Yeah.
Which we use ChatGPT to.
Turns out not that athletic, just say.
Well, I mean. When did we start like for real try? Because we were pretty hardcore about it. It was like whenever the window was open, it was once a day. And then during money time. It was, we were doing two-a-days, like we were in training camp.
So looking at my tracker,
mm-hmm.
Realistically, I think we started in August.
Okay. So it was right around after we August. Recorded that episode, that first episode, yeah. which was July.
Because I had went off of birth control.
You had gone off of birth control.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we started and it took a little bit for you to get back on your cycle. So we were not expecting it to happen.
It didn't take a little
didn't
bit.
Take too long.
It was
long.
Immediately.
Yeah.
But like when, for all of you who don't know how periods work in birth control, usually you can't get pregnant after your first period
mm-hmm.
and or until after your first period. It's just in that next cycle.
Yeah.
That's where it's possible. I don't know, something having to do with things and hormones reestablishing itself.
Yeah.
But I was surprised because I had been on the IUD for probably 8 years.
Yeah.
And then switched to the birth control pill and hadn't had periods for effectively 10 years.
Yeah.
Turns out they suck.
Yeah. You were not a fan.
Yeah. Was not. Still am not.
But
yeah.
We were banging.
We were banging, man.
A lot.
You hear that? Hear that, Dad? We were banging.
Well, look, he's aware. He's aware of how it works.
So, yeah,
this is for grown folks only.
Yeah.
This episode is going to be called Grown Folks Only.
But we pretty much immediately started using the ovulation test, which is how I know when we started.
Yes.
Because I was tracking all of that in my app. So you basically have to pee in a cup and then you put some sticks in a cup and then you can get ones that aren't overpriced and electronic, but I got the overpriced one where you put the stick in another little plastic stick.
Yeah.
And it either gives you a sad circle that tells you you're not ovulating.
Okay.
A flashing smiley face, which tells you, hey, you're ovulating, or a solid smiley face, which tells you that you are peak fertility.
You're on it.
And I pretty much had that like coming into like the first month. And I, you know, when you're peeing on these sticks every day and it's like, well, I guess there's a happy face, so we have to have sex. How did I go about notifying you that that it was business?
So we'll bring like you into the morning routine of the Jury Moore household. And normally what happens, I wake up 5:30 in the morning. I will go make coffee and bring coffee to Ashley, who is still asleep. Sometimes you stir and you wake up, give you a kiss. Other times you are conked out. I don't bother you. Leave the coffee on the bedside. Go to Orange Theory. That takes us from 6:15 to 7:15. It's about 7:30 by the time that I get back. Usually in between when I was wrapping up of Orange Theory and when I was coming back, I would have a text message from Ashley that would have a picture of a either smiling face or a flashing smiley face.
A video.
Oh, sorry. It was a GIF. I guess the whatever. It was active. It was animated, but it would have a bunch of GIFs on top of it that would either be sexually suggestive or it would involve geese. It would involve honking geese.
Sometimes I would put like submarine noises or police sirens in the background too.
It was very, very funny.
Yeah.
It put me on notice that after an hour long workout, I had anywhere between another 5 to 15 minutes to go. I had to do some full burnout.
Yeah.
I had to get back into the orange zone.
You did.
But yeah, so that was, how would you describe, I will say from my perspective, the immediate consistent schedule was pretty fun. Pretty fun. Although I will say that there was, I think it was the first month, there was definitely a lot of pressure. Because it wasn't just like, you know, not to say that we haven't had a healthy sex life in the past, but like, you know, in the past, one of us could finish or not finish and we can just go like, hey, good game, slap each other on the butt and move on. But this time, like, it's fun, but you gotta rescue the princess at the end. you can't just leave the controllers and go have Hot Pockets.
Yeah. I will say, I mean, I didn't feel that pressure.
No.
But, you know, I'm not the one on the clock necessarily for that.
Yeah.
I think for me, it was just more like, yeah, great, having a great time. But when your fertility window is 7 days.
Yeah.
Because apparently I have a fairly long window, apparently higher than the average from my tracking.
Really? What is the average?
Because they were saying it was like anywhere like 3 to 5 days, or sorry, five, I think 3 to 5. I just remember looking at it and then like looking at how long we were getting the happy faces and almost getting annoyed. Not annoyed.
Oh, no, because you were still getting the flashing happy face.
Well, like no, the five. Flash, you don't get that one. You only get that one for 2 days.
Okay. Oh, no. So you would get the solid happy face, whatever the one that's not the peak.
Yeah.
I remember like you would get that for like 5 days in a row.
And it'd be like,
and on day five, you were like, Jesus, because you know the two-a-days are coming.
Well, and you have to maximize when they're two-a-days. You have to.
Yeah.
I mean, do you want a baby or not?
No. Well, I mean, we did. So we had to. That was just the way to go. So that means August, September, October, right?
November, we were in Europe.
And then November. So what was your assumption on, because also like, I'll bring into my head, all I got is a bunch of people in my life that have had a lot of trouble with this. Some have talked about it. Some have been public with it. I'm thinking of like Joss from the Angry Chicken. Her and her husband tried really, really hard. Couldn't make it happen. Went to IVF and eventually were able to conceive. And now they have a kid. My friend from high school was telling us during a dinner that we were having during this process that him and his wife went 6 months trying. And then eventually they wound up I think maybe longer than that. I think they tried for over a year and wasn't happening. And eventually wound up seeing a doctor. I don't think that they did IVF, but I think that they still had to go see somebody. They went to a fertility doctor.
They usually say like when you're coming off birth control, if you don't get pregnant in the first 6 months to then see a doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like that's in my head. In my head, I'm not going to put too much pressure on it, but also I'm a little worried, you never know, especially we're a little older. But despite the fact that scientifically I have Navy SEAL Team 6 sperm, I was a little worried. Where was your window of when?
I think for me, in terms of timing, it was just like, if we're going to do it, I want to get pregnant as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be pregnant at 40.
Yeah.
And so for me, there's like a little bit of a timeline. Like if I'm not pregnant by the time I'm 38, it's probably a no-go.
Yeah.
And so, while after all these conversations, like it would be nice. Like I'd be a little bummed, but like it wouldn't be the end of the world. So for me, it's like I was dedicated to the cause. I have my eye on the prize.
Yeah.
But like I didn't feel, I think maybe as stressed as you did about it in some ways. I kind of thought it's like, well, we kind of got through over the 3 month hump, like of kind of the initial, like when they said the birth control stuff could, 3 to 6 months, like this kind of like the early window. I'll just get pregnant on vacation is like what I thought.
That was what you thought.
That was what I thought. It's like, we're going to go on vacation. We're gonna have a great time. I'm going to be peeing on sticks out there.
Yeah.
And, we'll figure it out.
So you were like, this is going to happen fast.
Yeah.
I will say that you're funnier off birth control.
I think you might have said this in the first episode.
Okay.
I don't remember, but yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still true. Still true all these months later. So we're trying. Nothing.
Funnier off birth control, not on.
Off. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah. So we're trying, not happening. Trying, not happening. We go on vacation. And part of it is me going to a conference in Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a joke that you did not like and were angry about every single time I told it.
Was it calling the child the Beatles?
Yes.
Yeah, that's stupid. It's like, this is where it's going to happen. We're going to name him the Beatles.
I was going to say, I'm just going to name my son. Like, when did you get pregnant? I don't know. When did we get pregnant with the Beatles? Still horrible. Funny. Still funny. You didn't like it.
I didn't. Because the Beatles are overrated, but let's not talk about that.
Oh, Jesus. Jeez Louise.
Let's not talk about that.
Jeez. You can get beat up saying that shit in Liverpool.
I don't think so. Anyway. So turns out.
Yeah.
We didn't get pregnant.
We did.
From the vacation.
We did. You got your period in Croatia.
Yeah.
Right. And so that was that, but we had a great time, amazing time in Serbia and Croatia and the UK. It was a phenomenal vacation. Really, really great. And we flew back to Orlando, saw everybody. Oh yeah. By the way, within this time period, we had my mom, my brother, and his two kids come out and visit us.
Mm-hmm.
Had a great time, amazing time, and then went to go visit Orlando for Thanksgiving, and we saw everybody again.
Yeah.
And that was, and I think in that period, you want to know what? Oh, okay, this did happen after the first episode. I did a brother's trip with Eric where we went to go see the Steelers play the Raiders in Las Vegas. And that was the first time that I told anybody on my side that this was happening. Unprotected shots were being taken. There was we had pulled the goalie. There was an empty net. So we are seeing if we could light the lamp. And he was very excited about it. Revealed that he and his wife had not had any problems conceiving. Again, the young men, solid sperm,
just full of cum. Just youngs,
just swimming, baby. You know, it's a Floridian when even their swimmers are swimming. but he was very excited about that, and that I believe, aside from one random person that I told that is kind of semi-connected to us, but is she's a friend, but she's not like a super close friend. And it was only because we were having like a specific conversation about kids and stuff like that, that I told, but that was the only person I think even to this day that I have told about it.
I had too many advice calls. I've got more than a couple.
No, yeah, you did a little mini survey. Yeah. And by the way, if you are listening to this and you're saying, why didn't Ashley call me? It's because you were too important. If you legitimately have that thought, it's because you were too important to tell, because we didn't know. We needed people that were like not in the center. So nobody that is like really in the center should feel bad about it, because we had to protect the center just in case it didn't happen.
Yeah.
We didn't want the blowback of it.
Yeah.
Are you okay on time?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay. You keep checking your phone.
That's because I keep getting notifications from former coworkers.
Gotcha. So that brings us to Thanksgiving. And actually, here, let's go a little bit before. You actually had a very scary moment when you went to your gastroenterologist.
Yeah. So without oversharing, I've had an issue for several years now where I have what's basically pelvic pain. And I've been talking to the gynecologist for a very long time. They're like, oh, it's ovarian cyst. And then they check and there wouldn't be cysts. And they're like, we don't know. Did you change partners? I'm like, nope, same guy, not a size issue. Like everything's good. So this has been going on for probably at least the last 6 years, I think is what we kind of like.
Yeah.
Timeline wise, I've been talking about. More.
Yeah. Longer.
And so with my most recent gynecologist here, when we were kind of talking about the like, hey, thinking about having a kid, this is still an issue. Considering, you know, a baby takes up a lot of room, I'm worried about, you know, having a significant pain issue during pregnancy. So she referred me to gastro, where the gastro said, well, everything you're telling me about like how and when you feel these symptoms, I'm really concerned that you might have a mass in your pelvis or abdomen. So we need to get an MRI, or I'm sorry, they wanted to do a bunch of things. So they wanted to do a colonoscopy and a CAT scan. And they're like, are you pregnant? I'm like, well, I could be, but I don't know. I should know in the next few days.
Yeah.
or like end of week. And she's like, okay, well, what we can do is for now, let's order an MRI without contrast. And I'll see if maybe we can do with contrast, but usually we don't like to do contrast in the first trimester because we don't know if it does anything or not to like hurt the baby. I'm like, okay. And so it put me in a little bit of a panic because, you know, it's not every day you're told that you might have some kind of tumor,
a mass,
cancerous or not, yeah, like in your body. And so that gave me a bit of a heart attack.
And so now we were waiting to see whether or not you were going to have your period, because that would dictate whether or not we were able to get some of these larger tests, the larger battery of tests.
Yeah.
For this.
Yeah. I could get the MRI still, just not with the dye. Not with the dye until.
So that would show if there was something abnormal. The MRI would show something. If something was abnormal at that point, you would need to double check to see whether or not what it was.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
And then that Friday was my projected start date of my period. And so a few things leading up to this, like that week leading up to this, there were a few things that I thought felt off.
Uh-huh.
Like I was waking up in the mornings and I would stand up and I would be not like dizzy, but feel off balance.
Yeah.
And so like, I just sit down in bed for a little bit until I felt good and stood up. I'm like, this is really weird. I feel warmer than usual. You're like, oh, well, that's just because it's hot in your office. I'm like, no, I'm in that office all the time. Believe me, jury. And so on Friday.
For the record, I'm trying to make you feel better because you were super stressed out.
I know. Well, because I was told I might have a tumor.
I know. Yeah. So I wasn't trying to be mean.
No, I know. And so on Friday. And, you know, periods don't always start the same day. So, like, I peed on the pregnancy stick and it said I wasn't pregnant. I'm like, okay, cool. Well, that day, I also had an appointment with my gyno to talk about the mass.
Yeah.
So I went in because I wanted to have an understanding of, like, hey, if this is life-threatening, like, you know, whether
how do we handle this, especially in Texas in 2024? Yes. Yeah.
And so we were talking and everything. And I'm like, you know, I was just... Today's supposed to be the day I start my period. It hasn't started. Like, you know, I did the pee test already at home. Can we just do the blood test, like, to check? And she's like, yeah, go over there. We'll have the results to you and give you a call by the end of the day. Great. They don't call. I try and call in today. They had already shut their office lines down. And so it was like, all right, well, I guess I have to wait till Monday.
Yeah.
Get through the weekend. Call on repeat Monday until the nurse's line picks up.
Yep.
And the nurse goes, she's like, yeah, so it tested positive. So can you actually come in? We want to make sure the hormone levels are like doubling or something. Like, wait, so is this positive? So like pregnant? And she's like, yeah, if you can come in, like I'll put the order over now. We'll give you that. And so I'm like, okay, thanks. Bye. And so I hang up and I just like immediately I'm in panic because not only am I told I might be dying of a tumor.
Yeah.
Now I'm pregnant with that and the politics of Texas and all this and that. And so I'm in a tizzy. So I come upstairs while you're like getting ready to go live or something.
No, I had just finished. I was just finishing. Yeah.
And I was just like, hey, I'm going to go run to the gynecologist office. And I kind of like paused because I was trying to think of an excuse to tell you. And
now then, why did you want to hide this?
I wanted to hide it because I had this elaborate idea of how I was going to break it to you in my head meet.
Uh-huh.
Where I think we talked about the tiki walk.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
We talked about that on the first episode.
We talked about the tiki walk. Yeah. And so I'm like, okay, when I'm pregnant, I'm going to get reservations for the tiki bar. And then we're going to go to the tiki bar and I'm going to like talk to them in the back or something and have like the pee stick or like a little card or something. Because at this tiki bar, they have like
these gigantic drinks.
Gigantic drinks, but they also have like, you know, very performance-based foods. So they have like these little sashimi things with like the rice or sushi and other stuff on top. And they put it in like almost like a little glass, kind of like terrarium dome, and there's smoke and stuff. I'm like, I'm going to go to the side. I'm going to order one of those. I want them to have like the stick or the card or something in it. So when they bring it to the table, it's like, surprise.
So you wanted to surprise me in public at the tiki
bar and I wanted to record you and watch you lose your shit in public. So
I think you also, the sub, because this is before Christmas, this is leading into the Christmas season. Uh-huh. You wanted to also give me a present.
That was going to be the other option. Safe.
Yeah.
The other option. But then like, I couldn't think of a good excuse and I just had so much internal panic. So I'm like, yeah, I got to go to the gynecologist because I'm pregnant. And then I just started bawling because I was so stressed out and scared with like the terror from the gastro and like all this big news. And I was so mad that I couldn't surprise you and I had to do it in this like shitty way. And then you just held me while I cried, which was very nice, but
it was amazing. Not because you were panicked, which I never want you to be panicked. And yes, I would have wished that your exact idea would have come to fruition, but you know, it wouldn't have been us. Yeah. It wouldn't have been my wife who safeguards us and her, because she scans the horizon looking for the possibilities of danger. And I thought it was exactly what it needed to be for us. And it put me in a situation where it's like, oh, okay, well, I don't know how excited I should be. Like should I be doing a backflip? Because we still don't know, you know, we need to figure out what this mass is. Like, so I don't want to be too excited. I don't want to be like, oh, put pressure on you,
yeah,
you know, with all this. But at the same time, I'm fucking thrilled. Like, this is amazing. This is exactly what we had talked about that we wanted 6 months ago.
And to not leave people hanging.
No, we're going to leave people hanging. This is a cliffhanger.
Okay.
See you next episode.
Bye.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Dog and Pony Show Audio.